Mesechta Ahalas, Perek Tes Zayin Mishneh Heintel, Perek Yud Zayin Mishneh Gimel. The Mesechta has really entered into a new section talking about particular laws, Midrabanon, which were decreed in concern of the spread of impurity that comes from a dead body. And the last couple of Mishnayos have been talking about when a dead body is found buried in an area that until now is not known to be a cemetery. And the Mishnah taught that if three dead bodies are found near to each other, then anything within 20 amas of those bodies needs to be checked in case it is part of an area that was designated for burial. And any body that is found buried within 20 amas of those three dead bodies, as well as the three dead bodies themselves, are presumed to have been buried permanently in an area that is designated for burial, and it is forbidden to move such a dead body in order to bury it elsewhere. But in a case where less than three dead bodies were found nearby to each other, then it can be presumed that it is not part of a cemetery, and rather the person was buried there temporarily with the intention of it later being moved to be buried in a regular cemetery, in which case it's permitted to move that dead body and bury it in a regular cemetery. However, midrabanon, out of respect of the dead body, one needs to move, together with the dead body, the earth that surrounds that dead body. Any earth that might have absorbed some of the liquid which oozes out of the body as it decomposes, that needs to be moved together with the dead body in order to rebury it in a cemetery. The Mishnah continues to talk about a person who is checking the 20 amas that are within the three dead bodies to ascertain whether there are other dead bodies there and it's part of a cemetery. Ha'obodek, if he was examining the earth, he'gia le'nachal o'le'shlulis, if he reaches a river or a canal of water, o'le'derech ha'rabim, or to a public road, mafsik, he can stop searching, and it is assumed that the cemetery certainly would not have extended into such an area. It's very uncommon to bury dead bodies underneath there. And it can also be presumed that the cemetery wouldn't continue on the other side of something like this. Now the Mishnah lists a few exceptions of the Midrabanon requirement to take the earth that surrounds the body together with the body in order to move it elsewhere. The Chachamim only decreed this in a regular, normal case where somebody is buried in a normal way, but Sodeh Shenehrgu Bo Harugim, a field in which multiple people were killed, and when they were not buried, but their bones are scattered around the field, Malakit Etzem Etzem Va'akol Tahar, one only needs to gather all of the individual bones, but not any of the other earth or soil that surrounds them, because they were never actually buried there. And once you've removed all of the bones, then the rest of the field can be presumed to be pure. If one is clearing out a grave from his own field, this is talking about a grave that was actually buried in the neighboring field, but somehow the bones ended up being moved or dragged or blown to his field. Once again, since it was not buried over there, Malakit Etzem Etzem, all he needs to do is to gather all of the bones that are there and remove them, the Hakol Tahar, and all of the earth over there would remain pure. And third example, Borsh Matilim L'Seichin Nefolim Oy Harugim, a pit into which they would put fetuses that died, or people who were killed, if it is a pit that was designated as a mass grave, essentially, since this is not the regular way of burying, and in addition, it's not even really considered to be burial, because the pit was left uncovered. Because of that, the decree that the Chachamim made does not apply to this unusual case. And so, Malakit Etzem Etzem Va'akol Tahar, all he would need to do is to gather together those bones that he can see, and the rest of the earth over there would remain pure. Rabbi Shimon says, Miskina lekever metchila, if originally the pit was designated as burial, as a grave, it's true that it's a mass grave, but the intention was to cover over that pit once the bodies would be put into it. Since at the end of the day this is a type of a grave, even if it wasn't covered, since the intention was that it be a covered grave, therefore is included in the cases that Yeshli Tavusa, that the Chachomim required the surrounding earth to also be removed together with those dead bodies. Perek Zayin Mishnah Aleph, the final two prokim, the two chapters of the Mesechta, are mostly designated to the laws of Beis HaPras, which is a field in which there is a possibility that the bones of a body have been scattered. Pras means something that is broken up, poros, There's a concern that broken up bones from body have been scattered around the field. And there are two main types of Beis HaPras. One is a field in which it is known that there is a dead body, but it's not known where exactly in the field that dead body is situated. And the other type of Beis HaPras is one in which HaChorish HaSakever, there was a grave in that body and its location was known, and somebody plowed over that grave. And now there is a large possibility that the bones of the grave were scattered across the whole field. How is it also Beis HaPras? This creates a field that has the status of a Beis HaPras, and that entire field is Tomei Midrabanan. And we're going to see very clearly in the Mishnayos that according to the strict letter of the law, one does not need to be concerned for this possibility of small bones being scattered across the whole field. Even if the bones were scattered across the whole field, it's only a concern if the bones are still at least the size of a corn of barley, because any bone smaller than that is not able to transfer impurity. Something that's at least the size of a corn of barley would transfer impurity to anyone who touches it or who moves it. However, Midrabanan, as a punishment for him having plowed over a dead body and carelessly scatter its bones across the field, as a punishment, the Rabbanon decreed that he actually needs to be concerned for that remote possibility of there being bones that are large enough across the whole field. So it's very interesting. The decree is to be concerned for that possibility that there are bones. It's not just a punishment that we decree that the whole field is impure. It's based on a small possibility that there are bones scattered across the whole field, but only as a punishment is he obligated to be concerned for such a remote possibility. And Kamahu Oiseh, to what extent, to how far of a distance would the field have the status of a Beis HaPras? Obviously, any area that he didn't plow until there wouldn't be included, but the question is, what's the maximum area that even if he did plow it, do we need to be concerned that there are scattered bones that was spread to there? Melomano meo amo. The distance of a furrow that is plowed, a hole that is plowed in the ground, up to 100 amos. Besar basim, a area that can plant seeds that will produce the volume of 4 sa'ar once they are grown. This is an area of 100 by 100 amos. The edge of the square being this furrow that he plowed. And then depending on which direction the plow would generally be taken after he reaches the end of the furrow, for example, if it would be taken to the right, so then this square would be towards the right, and that entire area, that square of 100 by 100 amos, would become a Beis HaPras. Rabbi Yossi says, Beis Chomesh, the area that becomes a Beis HaPras is one that can plant enough seeds that would produce a volume of 5 sa'ar of produce that's slightly larger than 100 by 100 amos. And all of this is with regards to a field that is either flat or bamirod if it's slanted and he plowed going downwards. Uvamale, but if he plowed upwards and the grave was at the bottom of the slope, then it's likely that the bones were scattered to a smaller distance. And how is that distance measured? Nosin Riva Karshinim al Berach Macharesha. He should place a quarter of a volume of a kav of karshinim, which is a type of vegetable, into a container that is placed at the back of a plow, and it has holes in it, and as the plow moves, the seeds fall out of those holes at a pretty steady pace. And if he were to continue plowing, the way that it works is that the seeds at the beginning, because there are a lot of them in this container, they come out of the hole pretty quickly. And then as the plowing continues, they start to exit those holes more slowly. So as long as 3 of these seeds fall out one after the other, and they are still coming out at a steady pace, for that distance that is indeed the case, that is how much needs to be concerned that the bones were scattered. But beyond that length, that distance, there is not a concern that the bones were scattered if the plow is going upwards. And therefore only ad shomhu oise Beis HaPras, until that distance would a Beis HaPras be created. And that whole area is considered to be Tomei Midrabanan, out of concern that the bones were scattered there. Rabbi Yossi says that the entire concept of a Beis HaPras being concerned that the bones were scattered via the plow, Bamirod, that only applies if he plowed going downwards, or if the field was flat. the loba malo, but not in a case where he ploughed going upwards and the grave was situated at the bottom of the slope. Rabbi Yossi understands that in such a case, the chances are that all of the bones would have been shaken out of the plough already from the beginning, and even if he manages to bring them upwards slightly, all of those bones would fall and be dragged downwards to the bottom of the slope, and therefore there is no concern that any area further upwards would have any of the scattered bones. It's very clear to see that even though this is a punishment, the punishment is that he needs to be concerned for the scattered bones. So if there's no chance of scattered bones being there at all, then there's no need to be concerned for any impurity. Mishnah Beit, so a choresh, if he was ploughing in the field and he ploughed over the grave, v'hitiach b'sela u'begoder, and in the continuation of his ploughing, he knocked into a rock or into a fence, and that caused any earth that was attached to the plough to fall off, u'shenir ha'macharisha, or if he shook the plough off himself. If he did so, that means that as well as all of the soil and earth coming off of the plough, any small pieces of the broken bone would have also come off, and therefore, ad shomu oisa beis apras, only up until that point as a beis apras created, but any part of the field beyond there, he can safely assume that no bones were scattered beyond that point. Continues the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer says, beis apras oisa beis apras. One beis apras can cause another beis apras to be created. That is to say, after he ploughs the first time for up to a distance of 100 amos, and we have this large square of 100 by 100 amos that is now tomei midrabanan, and the person needs to be concerned that there might be scattered bones in that area. If somebody starts ploughing from within that area and beyond it, there is now a concern that he spread that which was in that area onwards, such that the part of the field into which he ploughs for up to an additional 100 amos can also become a beis apras. Rabbi Yeshua says, Pa'olim oise, pa'olim eino oise. In certain scenarios, a new beis apras would be created, and that further area would also be tomei midrabanan, but in other cases, it wouldn't. Ketzad, how so? What does it depend upon? Chorash chatzimano, if he ploughed half of a regular furrow, the furrow is the hole that is created by the ploughing, across the field, and half a mano means that it is a distance of 50 amos instead of 100, 50. As soon as he did that, a square of 50 by 50 amos will become a beis apras. So the beis apras was already defined, v'chozar chorash chetzio, and later on, he then continued to plough the next half. In the same direction, he continued the furrow until a distance of 100 amos. And the same would apply if the second time he ploughed, he did it towards the side, instead of continuing in that same direction. In that case, the second furrow that was created, or the continuation of the furrow, would increase the size of the part of the field that was a beis apras. And since he ploughed for a distance of 100 amos, a square of 100 amos would be considered a beis apras. So in this case, Rabbi Yeshua says that essentially a beis apras is created out of an already existing beis apras. However, chorash malimana, if he originally ploughed the full 100 amos, so a beis apras was already created of 100 by 100 amos, chozav chorash menola velachutz, and then he continued ploughing from within that beis apras outwards, in this case, ein ois beis apras, it would not create an additional beis apras in that area beyond the original 100 by 100 amos square, because according to Rabbi Yeshua, there is never a concern that the bones would be scattered so far. Mishnah Gimel, there is a general rule that the Chachomim don't make decrees with regards to very uncommon cases. And because of that, the law of beis apras really applies to a regular grave that was in a field and it was ploughed over. But HaChoresh Melotimya, one who ploughs over a grave that contains a number of different dead bodies and lots of bones, mitzviras ha'atzomais, or if he ploughs over an area where there are lots of bones piled up, even above the ground, since these are uncommon cases, the decree of the Chachomim does not apply. Once again, we can see that the whole decree that the Chachomim made, according to the strict letter of the law, one does not really need to be concerned for such remote possibilities of there being a bone that is still the size of a corn of barley elsewhere in the field. But as a punishment, in certain cases, one does need to be concerned. But they never made this decree in these uncommon cases. Now, there are really two different types of beis apras. One is when there is a grave in a field that was ploughed over. The second kind of beis apras is when there is a grave inside of the field, but it's unknown where that grave is. If somebody ploughs in that field, there's a possibility that he ploughed over the grave, and he scattered the bones of that grave across the field. But the Mishnah says that this is also a case where the rule of Beis HaPras would not apply. If he plows in Misodesh Ovad HaKerah B'Seicha, in a field in which there is a grave lost inside there, a Beis HaPras would not be created. And the reason for this is because it is a Sefek Sefeka. A Sefek Sefeka means that there is a double doubt. We're unsure whether he even plowed over the grave. And even if he did plow over the grave, there's a possibility that he didn't scatter the bones across the whole field. And because there is a double doubt, the stringency, the decree of the Chachomim does not apply. An additional case in which Beis HaPras does not apply is Eisha Nimtza Bo Kever, if the grave was only found to have been in the field after he plowed, but at the time that he plowed the field, he didn't know that there was a grave there. In that case, there's no reason to punish him. Likewise, Achoris HaShein Shaloi, if somebody plows a field which belongs to somebody else, even if he plows over the grave, it obviously doesn't make sense to punish the owner of that field, because it's not his fault, and therefore it would not become a Beis HaPras. V'chein Nochri Shachorash, and likewise a non-Jew who plows his field, even if he plows over a grave, Eino Eisa Beis HaPras, he would not make that field into a Beis HaPras, She'ein Beis HaPras LaKutiyim, because the law of Beis HaPras does not apply even to Kutiyim. The Kutim or the Kutiyim were a nation who converted en masse to become Jewish, and they did so out of fear, and they were not observant of all of the laws, and especially in regards to the laws of Tumah, impurity, and therefore it wouldn't really even help to make a decree which applies to them. And the Mishnah is just coming to say that all the more so, a non-Jew who plows his field, the field would not become a Beis HaPras, because the Chachomim did not decree to punish the non-Jew, since the laws of Tumah are irrelevant to him.